Rangers Rambles.
We are back on the air with the next installment of the Raiders Rambles. I am Jolt, chief host of the show, and joining me is none other than my co-host, Avira.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Hope y'all are doing well.
I hope y'all are also, you know, holding up fine. I think this is the turning point.
We're
gonna get, you know, we're all going to get back into action.
I hope so.
God willing.
I hope so.
You know, but again, alas, you know, we don't know how fast these weeks are going to go, but hey. Next on the show is Noble.
Hello again. Is my voice coming through okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Good.
And it's good to have you back once again.
Good to be back, and at least awake.
Yeah, how's the chaos down there in our turd?
fine, actually.
Yeah.
Things are slowly starting to open up again, at least here, and businesses are still running as always. Just glad I'm not in the northern end of the state where the outbreak occurred.
Yeah, that's a whole of its own. But yeah, things aren't too bad either on my end. So, the other host we have on the show is Earth's Power.
Hello, thanks for having me.
I'm
still in quarantine, unfortunately, but that's life, you know. I'm dealing with it.
Okay. How are you, you know, expected? Feeling because movie theaters are either closing down, running out of money, or whatever.
Well, I'm just hopefully it starts up soon. So, if not, I guess I'm just gonna be quarantined for a while.
I know. Yeah. So other than that, though, we got a live comment just to get things up and rolling first. Boxcutter Husky, greetings. How's the book prep going? Guns and all that. Oh yeah. Civil War in the States.
Oh yeah, we're prepared.
Hope it stays that way.
Armed and starred, I'm assuming.
I don't know. I mean, it'll happen. It might happen. It'll happen at some point in your lives. Yeah,
isn't it a song from the 1980s, though? Isn't that where it came from?
Maybe, I don't
know. Nah, it came from a thing called Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, I thought that was a song
really?
From the 1980s.
Nah, it's a movie sequel. No. It's just, you know, and now it's just repurposed, you know, to say for sequels like Civil War II, Electric Boogaloo. Maybe it'll happen at some point.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all I can say is at the moment, let's just keep our eyes until November and maybe the boogaloo might just happen. I don't know.
I don't know what the heck's going to happen in November. Yo, 2020's been crazy so far.
Yep, very much so.
Very
crazy.
Yeah. I mean, what else can they throw at us?
Just a couple weeks ago, we got the aliens. That the Pentagon said was real. I mean, it doesn't get much crazier.
Yeah, and then,
Jesus,
you know, and then last week we had the, you know, we had orange bugs bad.
Yeah, what the hell?
Oh, the murder hornets.
Oh my good, yeah. Oh, yeah, that too. Why not? Throw in some murder hornets, why don't you? Sure, whatever.
All right, so in that case, I would like to preface this show with another convention closure of 2020. That's right. Megaplex in Florida has closed up for 2020. And it was slated to happen in Orlando, Florida, August 6th to 8th. Well, that's the date for next year, August 6th to 8th, 2021. But it would have happened in August this year.
You know what I find very interesting about this, though? If you think about what's going on in Florida right now, they're already starting to reopen things. They started doing this last week in Florida. And
right.
But now Megaplex just announced they're canceling the con just a couple days ago? Like, if things are opening up now, I mean, do they just... I mean, why didn't they do this earlier? If they were going to do it last minute, right?
I mean, kinda confusing. This is... Look at where we are right now. This is May. At this point, the events in July would have, if not, been really on the brink of cancelling, if they haven't already. At this point, the August events are going to be healing, you know, under the pressure.
Yeah, I mean, I just can't believe they didn't cancel it beforehand. I thought, like, they had to. Well, I guess not. The event's not scheduled until a few months from now. I don't know how that would work.
I mean,
the guys who run it.
Even if it was to open, I mean, how many people would be allowed to attend?
Right. Like,
who'd want to attend?
Yeah, who wants to, yeah.
Where would you?
For reference, on stage three, you know, in Australia's, you know, reopening plan, they're going to have, you know, public gatherings of 100 to begin with slowly. So
yeah, they're going to have to count everyone. What do they mean when they say, oh, the beaches can only be at 50% capacity? It's like, well, how do you know? Like, what does a typical day at the beach look like?
A lot of people.
And I think it's just subjective, you know. It could maybe it's a rainy day, but it's crowded, you know. I don't know.
The other issue is, what do you do when someone refuses to abide by the instruction of, you know, bugger off, go home, there are too many people here already?
Well, I don't know, man. Like, people have been arrested. Yeah.
They'd have to put in extra security, right? Not to mention have to count how many badges they've issued at the registration desk.
Well, yeah. Well, remember there was that hair salon lady who wanted to open, and then they put her in jail for a week because she refused the stay home orders from the governor. I'm like, that's kind of messed up.
That is messed up, yeah.
She's like, I just want to open my business. So I'm not going to get into that whole conundrum. But yeah, like, I don't know why Megaplex didn't do this earlier. This really, like, why now? You know?
Indeed, why now? But in this case, it's another one of those things as well, and then of course they'd have to answer all these questions as well. You know, can we do enough to keep everyone safe? Can we run a con in spite of this? Again, we've got, you know, how many people can attend? Like, if they were to reopen a con in, like, say, August or September, you know, how many people would be able to cap out? And could we have a party for 100?
Nah. It's not going to be the same.
You're right. It won't be the same, but what you will need to know is that Megaplex does have a plan. We're looking into the possibility of hosting an online convention,
which those who
donate or transfer their registration will have free access to.
Oh my god, I didn't see that part. Wow, everyone's doing this now. I don't know about that. You know, we had a whole conversation about, you know, hosting online conventions and all that, but I mean, I guess that's a thing that we do now.
Oh, hey.
Oh, that's weird.
Here's an interesting thing. Oh, Yappy. Hello. I know you may be in charge of Megaplex. And I understand you may have had to deal with hotel contracts. That's also another big aspect of why, you know.
Yeah. No.
Just the way they are.
That's a very good point. That's what Kage was saying about when it came to the contracts. Because, you know, if you cancel it, there's all these kind of fees and stuff. And, you know, like, you're renting out space. I got that whole thing.
I mean...
But he's reluctant to cancel it. But, like, I guess if that's the law, like, if hotels are not even allowed to be open, you can't have a con anyway. So, you know, what are you going to do?
Unfortunately, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. I just hope that, like, the smaller cons, you know, don't, like, get crushed by this. And they never come back, you know, because... There's, like, a few startup cons out there that look pretty cool, but, like, if they're losing a lot of, like, revenue and stuff and everything, like, how's that going to work?
That's true. Also, as you well say, you can't just cancel without legal contract separation, without getting fined into bankruptcy. The cancellation clauses are going to be quite up there.
Yeah.
It'll mount up. Yeah.
I don't know. I just hope that Kage worked something out, because, like, that's something he was very concerned with.
I know. Like, I don't know how optimistic that even other cons are going to be feeling at the moment. Like,
I mean, Ace is pretty big. I don't think they're going to.
Here's the thing. even if you're not Kage, and you know how much, you know, are the cancellation fees going to hit you in the first place, and then you have to consider registrations and other stuff too.
Oh yeah, all that, the dealer's den, the
so parties, and now what you're saying as well, you weren't able to, you know, to announce this thing earlier until you legally had things settled.
Oh wow, yeah. So it was a bureaucratic process. Yikes, dude. Oh, by the way, if you guys don't know who Yappy is, he typically leads the Edricon parade with the symbol.
Indeed, I know. Long time, and I understand. Long time furry. He's just been out there for a long time.
Yeah, thanks for letting me know that. I had a feeling it had to do something like legally, because
I mean, truly, I really feel for your convention as well, like as well as all the other cons that are happening. It's just thing, you know. It's just everything's just beyond our power.
Hey Joel, I sent you something in Telegram for the comment on this. It sort of nails everything down permanently.
Perfectly.
I would have loved that.
I'll pop that screen up in a second, no problem. So, give me a second. But essentially, I think what your next route at the moment is, you know, let's try and take this online so you don't miss out on the Mega Complex experience for 2020, and then when things happen in 2021, yeah.
I'm kind of curious how the how that online convention is going to work. Like, are they going to build a whole like hotel? Like, I mean, I've seen some things about online cons, but like, they build dealers' dens and stuff. Like, I think they're pretty elaborate. That's the future, man.
Unfortunately, though, you say, of course, you're basically at the behest of the Florida government.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, no, exactly.
I wonder how many of them are going to move over to Second Life.
I mean, yeah. There's VR chat.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, the VR chat, like the virtual cons, like it's like you're really there.
Alright, so what Noble was sent me, food plus at home con with a registration badge.
Oh, that's too relatable.
I mean, if I had stayed for down home fur con, what have you, I would have understood. I wouldn't have been able to relate to this 100%.
Can't pronounce that user's name, but I'll post their
the rogues.
Yep.
Very cool.
Also, if you cancel without force majeure, you'd have to pay for each hotel room canceled.
Right, yeah. That's, oh my god. I can't even imagine. Because I think, let's see. Anthrocon, I think he said they have like 11 or 12 different contracts with different hotels all around the city. Plus the convention center itself. I mean,
now, if you scale this down for Megaplex, which has, well, a quarter of the attendance, give or take, maybe we might be expecting 3,000 or 4,000 on a good year.
I mean, that's thousands of people, though. You have to coordinate all that. That's a lot of
And
routes.
If I recall right, you run one hotel and maybe like one, two, or three overflows, depending. So
That's still a rough blow, though. I mean,
it is. You scale that up, and how much are you expecting, you know, if you have a room block that just got cancelled?
Yeah, everything. That's crazy. Mm.
Very crazy indeed.
Yeah, this is a very historic time we live in.
Very much so.
Either way, I'm quite glad you really dropped by. I really feel for all those who are organizing conventions. Really, I do.
Yeah, seriously, like they're the backbone. No.
Yep.
So again, Yappy, I don't know if you're hearing this, I'd like to, you know. Yeah. There's not an awful lot I can say at this point, but just know. Yeah, I really feel for you.
Dang, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money to cancel.
Near $225,000 to cancel without force majeure.
That's a lot. Ouch, that's a lot. Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's a lot.
Yeah, but when there's a pandemic, though, you see, like, that's the thing. It's not like they're canceling because they just decided to cancel. It's like
they have no choice but to.
You know, there's something else going on at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
That would force that to happen. So, I mean, maybe they have insurance for it. I don't really know much about that kind of stuff, but it might not be a bad idea to have, like, cancellation insurance, or if that's even a thing. I don't even know if that's a thing. I don't know. What am I saying?
At this, I mean, venues basically provide a clause, if I'm reading this right, when it comes to, you know, using their space.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, that is a big loss. That it's not, you know, the easiest thing to recover from.
I know.
$25,000 is not a small sum of money.
Definitely not.
No, it's not. Thing is, like, furries, like, they make a lot of money when we go to AnthroCon. I think we inject like $2 million into the economy or something crazy like that.
Oh wow! Really?
Yeah, but if the con is canceled, then we are not there to, to do all that.
Mm-hmm.
So again, alas, it seems you have to account for attendee refunds.
That's right.
Standard $50 for registration, plus sponsors and all such.
And what then about like
you
all
have,
the...
yeah.
What about all the sound equipment, like, for the sound stages and stuff that you have to rent?
Around. That's stuff from this. That's taken care of externally. You have to, withdraw and such.
No, yeah, so, but like but that's just something that the con still has to spend, and they're not going to use it. So, what are they going to do? Just hold on to it?
So the only route that Yappy was able to take, you say, you have to do force majeure, otherwise you'll end up losing that sort of money. Does that sound right?
Yeah. That was for Megaplex, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
That was just for Megaplex. I thought that was AnthroCon.
Yeah, this is Megaplex, but also, he's...
Okay, wow.
Cancellation insurance is being sued by many events for not covering COVID. So, I know, events in Florida too, like, concerts, such like, they've had to cancel as well.
I don't know why I was thinking AnthroCon. So I can't even imagine how much other convention they're losing, like BLFC, FWA, MFF, Megaplex, like, this is crazy. I didn't think it was going to be that high. Well, so how are you going to recover from this? Like, I know.
It's $1 million question that I know that, con organizers...
Or you could say it's $250,000 question. Uh-huh.
yeah, you got me there. You got me there.
Okay, I don't know if that was mean-spirited or not, but yeah, I'm just wondering, how do you make that up? Like, it's crazy. I'm sure they have contingency plans or something, but...
I mean, you say as well, you owned most of your gear and had not signed our rentals. Jeez.
Okay, that's good.
Okay, that's fine. And $225,000 for a 4,000 person con.
Oof.
Yeah, wow.
Wow, I can't imagine if it's more people.
Again, if you basically doubled this to the scale of, like, say, AnthroCon and Midwest Fur Fest, the cost would be much, much more astronomical.
That's like triple. Yeah, imagine triple or quadruple that.
It's almost $1 million, essentially. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, oh my god.
Gosh, it's getting almost $1 million. That's crazy.
That's scary.
Yeah.
But I know, it's also a foregone conclusion and a sign of optimism as well. That you've the hope that people will carry their registrations across. So, and then, keeping some savings. That's a sign of good planning. $200 per hotel room night. I mean, I don't know. I don't know exactly what that hotel charges specifically. But yeah, I know the main convention hotel will charge, will charge up, unless you have a special offer, but. $200 per night. If you multiply that across, the duration of the event, which is, most people stay from Thursday to Monday.
Yeah, I typically stay like 3 nights.
Is the 200 per night, does that count like how many people you share in a room with, or is that per person?
No, they charge per room.
Per group?
Yeah, so if you're with, like, you know, four people, it's like, what, $50 each?
So, oh, okay, yeah, that's not bad. If you put four people in a room, I would say, you know, they'd have to charge based on how many people are in that room. So let's say the hotel flat rate, you can get a hotel room for $150 a room for two. Add a third person in, and he'll be paying a little extra per night to the room fee. Add a fourth person in. That's like an extra $50. So you might end up having a $250 a night.
All right, that's not bad. I was about to say, I thought it was $200 per person. I would have been like, whoa, that's a lot less expensive.
I mean, a hotel room for one, of course, yeah, it's going to be expensive out of your money. That I can understand.
I gotcha.
But, alas, it's kind of...
I don't know if... Do you think it's worth it to, like, to go to an online convention? I mean, to, like, pay to be there? Like, that's what's confusing me about this. Because the last convention that we saw did this, I think it was in Texas. Mm-hmm. It was, like, free for everyone. It was just, like, an online chat. So I wonder what's going to be different about this that you can use your registration to actually get into it. Like, is it going to be more elaborate or, I don't know, is it going to be, like, a different experience?
Yeah, that's a good question, isn't it? What will we be hosting this with and such, like, and, you know, how can you control...
How do they do, like, special guests and stuff? Or, like, concerts?
No, is it over, like, a Skype call or something? Or, I don't know.
No, it's like a VR chat. Like, you're all in a thing. But, like, they have buildings you can walk around. Like, I saw a clip of someone walking around, like, a dealer's den. And you can legit, like, talk to the people there.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's pretty wild.
It's virtual, yeah.
Yeah, it's something else.
Mm-hmm.
Sound like such a boomer, but it's really cool.
I mean, I know, virtual cons are trying to replicate the, you know, an actual con space the best they can. Fully understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you've got a few answers here. If you can't, Zappy Fox, if you cancel the con, has to pay for every room night, not paid for by an attendee.
That makes sense, yeah.
So, again, going back to the whole, you know, multiply that, take the charge of one room and multiply it.
That's crazy. That's really insane.
And not every con is going to charge to do online or using the event as incentive to carry registration fees over to the following year instead of refund. And some cons are using Zoom for panels.
Isn't Zoom being shut down, though? I think I might have heard that somewhere.
I mean, you can say whatever you want about Zoom. You know, that the security has some gaping issues that need to be resolved.
Yeah, people could hack it or whatever and join it or whatever, yeah.
But hey, they're doing panels on Zoom. I mean, that's kind of cool.
Guess so.
The thing is, Zoom wouldn't have taken off as it is if other services had provided what Zoom has, which was mass basic gatherings. I know you could get it on Skype and that, but you had to fork out for it, if I recall. It was only available at corporate.
I guess so.
Maybe that was the older version of Skype when... I don't know.
Skype
in a long time.
Me neither, so.
Yeah, I mean, some cons have used Twitch for panels. There's solutions out there on the market. You just have to know where to look for it. But
yeah, true.
I guess if this is the route you've decided to take.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like the legit definition of just stay-at-home con. Like, I don't even know it's a cool idea, but I feel like it's kind of sad.
It is.
It's like a pitiful echo of its former self, you know.
No, it's not just them. You know, you got to feel for Megaplex. They're not the only ones suffering. Believe me.
Oh no, it's everyone. No, I know that.
The other big con that got cancelled in August was Euroference. So
yeah,
and that also is another can of.
Yeah, but now Europe is starting to open up now too. So, I mean.
I understand. Yeah, they do things differently compared to us.
Oh no, I mean, I don't think convention centers or hotels are open.
Now, if I'm crazy enough, the only people who might at this stage who'd be running a con would be Nordic FuzzCon in Sweden, because again, Sweden is trying the herd immunity strategy.
Oh yeah, that's right. Are they still doing that?
I believe so.
I have no idea.
Huh. Well, okay. I guess that's one way to do it. You know, herd
but,
immunity.
You know, osmotic plasma happened earlier this year and they beat the beer virus.
You didn't get that.
Let me just say, it would have been, you know, some quite interesting to see if they really went for it, but it's what it is at the moment. So, but you're right, in that sense, people are indeed desperate to socialize. I know there's been arguments about texting isn't communication, and so forth and so forth. But we need the face-to-face contact. We need the whole, you know, the furry community has this very big social element that even online spaces can only do so much for. You're right.
I still want to try going to an online con, though, just to see what it's like.
And there's also the matter of foreign guests. I know. I can't quite fly from Sydney to Los Angeles, just as an example. And so on, too. Like, yes, cons are attracting, you know, internationals from all over. And, of course, in your case, you have a complete travel ban from Europe and all that. That was early and now. So it's all an interesting situation. Now, Foxy Frank, people are saying the UK's lockdown is getting eased. I mean, I do have some friends from the United Kingdom. Some countries are definitely starting to ease their restrictions. Last I've heard is that Boris Johnson has outlined a plan for this sort of thing. But, yeah.
Well, hopefully numbers go down and we don't get a second wave of death and destruction in the fall.
Alas, though, the United Kingdom's furry convention confuzzled has cancelled. That was way early in February that they had to make the announcement. So.
Yeah, so I guess, is the Nordic Con the only one that's coming up that's still open?
I honestly do not know anymore. Because where we're at, though, September events will be feeling the pressure if, you know, if things don't get better, we may not have some September events. And, you know, God forbid, if October and November are cancelled, then I suppose I hate to say it, but this year has been a total write-off.
Yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I know, Appy, thanks for sharing with us all of this and the circumstances that are surrounding it. I know this was not an easy decision to make, so, you know, when you really factor in all these things and how much you've had to lose just because of what...
All you can do is hope that next year's going to be better.
Yeah, I think that's what all of us are hoping.
Yes, I'm hoping
that's all we can do. That's all we can do.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Toonie. Nordic FuzzCon is in Sweden. Yeah, so. But, yeah. And, of course, what Foxy Frank says, if you want to kill the virus, the sad thing is the easiest option to give, have everyone slightly affected, then their body can gain the antibodies. That is, again, what you describe is Sweden's herd immunity strategy.
That seems kind of... The strategy seems dangerous.
I mean, I don't want to get this.
No,
really
neither do I.
It looks really bad. Like,
the issue is that you may have already had it. That's the thing.
Right.
A lot of people are getting it, but they don't realize it because they either have no symptoms or they have very few symptoms. Or they end up in hospital with pneumonia, so...
True.
But, like, I know some people who got sick with this, and it's really not fun. I mean, they didn't die. Well, someone did, but... You know, it's not like... I thought last week I had it, because I was coughing my brains out.
Here's the thing. Remember, Sweden is a country of 9 million, and if you upscale it to, like, you know, to Australia's population of, like, 23 million, or heck... The United States, which is 320 million or so. Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, the Swedes can do that because they only have 9 million people, though. Like, they can do contact tracing, you know, like, they can do that stuff. Right? Well, I guess they're not really doing that, are they? Oh, that's weird. I don't know if I like that. Plus, how do you know if, like, you're even still immune to it? Like, you can get the cold, like, 5 times a year. You know? Like, it's no guarantee.
I guess, you know, I guess if it really works for you and you don't suffer too much, more power to you, but...
Yeah, like, alright, well, good luck with that.
I mean, I know, herd immunity is not a strategy for every country.
You know, it's not a strategy for every virus or infection that's out there.
No, I don't know if it's a good idea for this one or not. I mean, no one really does, but I really do miss going to restaurants, though. So, everything's all fine and dandy and sweet.
I mean, here in Australia, we've just began opening up, like, again, with a limit of 10 people in the premises for dining in.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Going to be hard, but can they justify opening it? Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah. So, yeah, we...
We should probably move on to the next topic, then.
I know. Yeah. It was definitely a lot, and I did not expect... I absolutely had no expect that this, you know, this president of Megaplex himself would make an appearance on our show in the comments.
If you're still listening, thanks for all you're doing, man. Seriously. Like, I know it's not easy. Thanks.
I know. Even the Florida Furs and all the other interstate, you know, and all the others around the neighboring states and so forth aren't going to have it easy as well. But I know. And Megaplex is one of the bigger, more popular cons. So.
I know. I want to go. I want to go to Megaplex. And
yeah. Become a Florida man. Day.
Yeah.
Florida fur.
Florida fur.
I know. I shouldn't be making all these jokes about Florida, but yeah.
Oh, they deserve it. When you chase a store owner around with a crocodile.
Oh, that's just a typical day in Florida. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
Because they have crocodiles there. Like, they're monsters.
All right. So, well, I guess we can just start on the main routine in that sense. I know we've got a bit of catching up to do, but we'll just take this one step at a time, yeah? So, yeah, I guess that's the wrap-up for the con. Now, onto our main routine. Disney drops Deadpool and Jack Sparrow for quote-unquote less toxic female characters.
Oh, gosh.
Do they know what they're talking about?
Nope.
When they say
I mean, Sausage Roll is a very, very... I trust it. Full stop. Very, very, very much trusted. Now, compared to all the other, you know, entertainment news outlets. Now, yeah. But the thing is, but to say that the future of Disney is female, according to some producers. Seriously?
No, apparently the Force is, too. Everything is. Why not?
Yeah. And again, remember, this has to do with the acquisition of Fox as well. So, remember, Deadpool is basically, you know, no matter how you slice it, the property of Disney now.
Yeah.
Well, to be honest with you, Deadpool 2 didn't really seem that good to me. I mean, I loved the first one. The first one was great. Uh-huh. The second one was just, eh. So I don't know if the franchise for the third one was going to do anything, but... I mean, messing with this other one, I just... Pirates of the Caribbean, this is definitely not something they should be doing.
Nope. Wait, so are they talking about completely just getting rid of these characters and not using them anymore? Like, what are they actually trying to do here?
I mean, Ryan Reynolds himself said that the merger meant the Deadpool films will be going into a new direction, and he's not even sure if the Deadpool 3 is going to come out or not.
Oh, okay.
So, what? Here's the thing. Deadpool is known for a lot of things. And I would venture to say that he is a very, very bad fit for Disney. Knowing what Deadpool stands for. And his signature style.
Yeah.
But that's the point of his character, though, isn't it? Deadpool?
Oh my god. He doesn't take... the comics, though. Oh my god. Oh my goodness. This guy's a psycho.
Yes.
And it's bloody too. Like, it's really. I think, wasn't Deadpool like the first PG-13 movie that Disney made? Or no, was that Pirates of the Caribbean? I know it broke something. Or was it the first rated R movie?
I don't know.
I mean, say what you want about it, but.
No, I know there was some story about it where, like, you know, parents took their kids to go see Deadpool and they thought it was like a kid friendly superhero movie and it was like all cursing and blood and craziness. And yeah, they complained about it.
Sounds like because Deadpool.
I mean, you've got to make sure you know your kids know what they're getting into and so forth.
I mean, parents don't know.
Parental guidance. Mature, you know, MA-15. The rating system is there.
Yeah, parents
got to make informed decisions.
Yeah, I know.
But hey, yeah, just one other little thing as well, since Yappy is still... You guys, some Florida's people are still here, Yappy especially. Florida does not have Crocs. Those are down under. Yeah, we call them Crocs. We have... have alligators.
Oh my god, I'm sorry, you're right. You know, my mom lives in Florida. I should know this.
Disgraceful.
Wait, is she Florida woman?
Oh, no. Okay, well, whatever. no, I have a lot of family in Florida. But okay, actually, yeah, it is alligator. I ate alligator when I was in Florida.
Does it taste good?
I know Floridans eat alligators from time to time.
It was pretty chewy, salty, but like it was all right.
Okay.
But you could eat alligators in Florida.
Okay, just don't eat bats, okay?
Oh god.
American bats don't compare to Chinese bats.
True.
But yeah, the point stands.
Yeah.
I completely get you.
Don't they have crocodiles? Yeah, also in fun little fact.
Florida has American crocs, but their endangered that cousin, the gator, is more common.
Okay, so they do have crocodiles there. Alright. You know, yeah. Oh my god. Alright, cool. They also have another thing. Oh, it's not an alligator, it's a caiman.
Why?
It's kinda like an alligator, or it's like a mix between both, but caimans are like they're pretty big. You can mistake them for like an alligator or a crocodile. Yeah, Florida's got some crazy stuff.
Yeah, interesting, most definitely. But yeah. Just to continue on with the story that we're at, Deadpool isn't the only male character that Disney plans on phasing out. Despite the demand and hype for the return of Johnny Depp as Captain Jack Sparrow in the beloved Pirates of the Caribbean film series, Disney have opted to go in a different direction altogether and replace him with a female protagonist.
Yeah, this is gonna be interesting.
Oh, well, why?
I mean, here's the thing.
Why are you doing this?
I don't know what I don't know who they'd introduce, but Keira Knightley is no substitute for, you know, Jack Sparrow.
That just defeats Deadpool's character. It's not gonna be Deadpool anymore, then.
No, I mean, these are classic characters, you know, like they always do this, and it's like no one asked for this, right? Look, I get it. You want to be all diverse and whatnot. Okay, cool, but don't like. Ruin other things to promote.
Don't take the whole revisionist route.
It wouldn't surprise me if they go on like the whole think about the children, like for you know the whole family friendly type thing.
Pirates of the Caribbean is a pretty mature-ish movie.
Yeah, we gotta worry about the children, guys.
It's supposed to be about a drunk pirate captain that's belting around the place. I know, that's why I watch it.
That's why I like it too, yes.
Yeah. Pirates is much more kid-friendly, I think, than Deadpool.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, yes. Like, that's
it's not on the same level.
But I think that's what they're trying to do, though. They're trying to make Deadpool appeal to kids when they shouldn't be. Like, can't adults have their entertainment too, like, for once? Like,
I don't think it appeals to kids. I mean, I don't know. I think they're trying to, though.
Well, they're going to try to make it too, though, I think. I don't know. That's what it seems like to me, at least. I don't know.
Well, it seems like it worked because a lot of kids saw it, and the parents are very angry because they didn't
really?
It was an R-rated movie.
Oh,
yeah.
I guess so.
Well, the only thing you could hope is that Disney learns their mistakes quicker than it kills off their franchise completely.
I guess so.
What's the mistake about?
Okay, here's the mistake that Disney made. Straight up. I'll show you.
Star Wars.
Well, there's that. But the biggest mistake that they made in this case was that they hired a political activist to be part of the screenwriting team.
Oh, gosh, why?
Oh, just look at that.
K. Ali is frequently on the Guilty Feminist podcast. Okay, whatever. Freedom of Association.
Oh, gosh.
And she co-hosts a radio show where she discussed the pandemic of toxic masculinity.
Oh,
and
man.
She basically fawns over Barack Obama.
What?
Oh, I mean, just if I met her just on the street, you know, I could just tell her whole life story. Just by looking at her. Like, you can just tell she's this kind of a person.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness, the smugness.
Oh man, this is cringe.
Oh no.
Oh man.
The guilty stop, please, no. You know what's funny, though? Ever since this whole pandemic started, a lot of people stopped really caring so much about getting all offended on Twitter. Or at least I haven't seen a lot of it. But then you get things like this with Deadpool and Jack Sparrow, and then they're just still going at it. Ay, jeez.
And, of course, here's the thing that basically will get you written off. Read this. Deadpool and Jack Sparrow are very masculine and charismatic heroes, strong and confident. These qualities are considered to be toxic by the writers, new writers at Disney/Marvel, and are replaced by being cut out. And this is the checklist that you've got to be, you know, that will classify you as being a toxically masculine.
Wait, not
being
good.
Stoic. Being promiscuous.
Oh
being
gosh,
heterosexual.
Really?
Being dominant.
Wow.
And risk-taking.
That's basically every single Prince Charming, though.
Yeah. And I don't see any problem with none of those.
Okay.
At all.
This is starting to look like a cult. Like, they are pushing some kind of a scary kind of agenda.
And then, yep.
No, this is spooky.
It is spooky.
I mean, this should really concern people.
I agree.
Oh, God. It's freaky.
It is. It's a cult of the, you know, hatred of men.
Yeah.
And the replacement of the new student, the new male of 2020.
What's that supposed to even...
Who does not tick all these five boxes that, dare I say, are desirable for a male character.
Okay, aside from maybe the promiscuous thing, I guess, but I guess being a manly guy, I mean, that's whatever. But
yeah, I mean, you don't have to, I wouldn't say, you know, the promiscuous box isn't one I'd readily tick, but still.
No, but like, I think, you know, whatever, he wants the girl, you know, he's rescuing the princess. All right, he's the prince. Like, whatever. Okay, they get married at the end. They fall in love. You know, la-di-da.
May I bring up something that's kind of interesting? Does this have to do anything about the allegations about Johnny Depp at all? No.
No, that was brought up.
Because he plays the Jack Sparrow character in the movie.
He does, but again, like, people... Here's the thing. Johnny Depp is Jack Sparrow.
Yes, he is. But there's also allegations that he's abusive to his...
Right,
wife
that's
or whatever.
Story, like, you know, with his,
even though it's been, debunked and whatever, disproven or whatever.
I mean, I think it's established that we know Amber Heard is, you know.
Yeah, she's the abusive one. He's not. Yeah.
Yes.
And
you know, people have been petitioning Amber Heard to be pulled out of, you know, the next Aquaman movie, some such. None of this has really any allegations or any impact on whether Johnny will get to reprise his role. But as things stand, Disney's pretty much going to write him out of existence.
Oof. But how do they do that? Because think about it, like, if you go to Disney World, right, they have, like, the Pirates of the Caribbean area, and they have, like, Johnny Depp and... Oh, not Johnny Depp. I mean Jack Sparrow walking around in costume, you know, they do, like, whatever. Like, what, are they not going to do that anymore? Like... Are they going to take down all of the posters and all the merch and stuff? Like, why would they just get rid of him? He's such a classic, awesome character.
Yeah, and don't they do, Six Flags during Halloween time? Like, evil Halloween pirates? Is that going to be not a thing anymore either? Or,
I don't know. Like, they're going to lose money.
I don't know.
I mean, at that point, they might as well kiss goodbye to the whole, you know, to the pirates and the Deadpool thingy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, or like basically every good Disney movie. I mean, if you think about what their standards are now, like, oh, like every good Disney movie, basically.
I'm surprised they don't bother trying to get Sigourney Weaver in as a director.
Oh, God. As a director.
Well, come on. You want big female, you know, sort of, hey, you know, we're going for women now. Why not get her in? I mean, Christ.
I mean, she was cool.
Didn't anyone like the Alien movies?
Nah, she was cool in, like, the 90s. Now, I don't know.
I don't know. I like her, though. I like the 90 movies.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I do, too, but... she's past her time.
Yeah, she's... Yeah,
and it's the reason why director, not as a actor.
True.
All right, if she could do it, that's, I don't know. I don't know where Disney's headed. I mean, I think they're really making some bad decisions here.
Yeah, it's really concerning, for sure. Yeah.
There's that Jeanette actor from the second Alien movie.
Could be, but at this point, you know, you might as well basically, you know, dismiss all the writers and from Disney, you know, from their team. And, you know, and replace them with non-activists, and they might have a better chance of getting, you know, Deadpool and Depp back.
I mean, is it the writers, or is it their bosses? Or is it, I mean, what's investors? The Illuminati? I mean, what's going on here? Could be anyone.
It really falls down to the person. Look, you can be an activist and be a good screenwriter. It's just depending on how much you can separate those two personalities while you're doing activism doing screenwriting.
Well, the worst kind is the activist who's detached from reality.
Or if my boss says, hey, I want you to write this movie about, I don't know, trolls or something, right? But your hero cannot be masculine or heroic or anything like that. And he should be gay.
God, no.
That's
the guidelines that they give me. So even if I'm not a bad person, that's what you have to do.
That sucks.
Yeah.
I think at this point, though, I mean, I can't say I'm going to be taking cautiously optimistic about the future of those two movies, but that's just kind of where it stands. So that's pretty much that for this segment. But since there's a bit of Gator talk, I think we might just run a very, very brief, you know, letting PSA. So, Gaffy would so educate us, crocodiles have a pointy snout. Alligators will have a broad snout. And I'll pop up a little picture as well.
I don't know the difference between the two, so I don't know.
Yo, I'm not kidding you. Like, you go outside your backyard in Florida, you see these things on your lawn. Like, they're everywhere.
You just don't fuck with them, that's all. Don't go up there and start poking them with a stick.
I mean, they get big, too. I mean, they could get pretty big. Like, if your toddler walks outside in the morning one day, and there's just some alligator chilling, you know, at the bottom of a hill, like, you don't know.
I don't know. The croc looks more scarier to me than an alligator.
Like, I'm not gonna lie. I would say the crocodile does look scarier based on how jagged,
like the teeth or whatever it is. Yeah, I'm like, dang, that's like I don't want to deal with either of them, but dang.
I think, oh man, I mean, they're cool though. Like they look like dinosaurs.
Yeah. Again, you know, when you really look at it, it's. Yeah, can you really tell the difference right up there if both appeared right in, you know, you had one and they were within eye distance? Can you tell the difference?
Probably not.
Yeah, you can?
Okay. I haven't seen in person, so I don't know. Yeah. Okay.
Because, like, even, like, the younger alligators, their snouts are, like, really pointy. No, it's pretty easy to like, at least tell what an alligator is. If you're not sure if it's a crocodile, you can definitely tell if it's an alligator.
Yeah.
I watch Brave Wilderness. on YouTube, Coyote Peterson. I know my animals.
There you go. And the expert label shall now be stickered onto you.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
All right.
How do you feel? You are now a crocodile/alligator expert.
Fantastic.
Doesn't matter which one it is. Don't carry a child while you're trying to feed one.
Yeah,
don't try to feed one.
Yeah, I would say that. Yeah, don't bother. Yeah.
Oh yeah, but alas, we've got another item on the menu today, and let's just say it's a bunch of stupid, especially if you own certain breeds of dogs. The Anti-Defamation League lists pit bulls as a hate symbol.
Oh gosh, why?
What?
Here's the interesting fact. Apparently, they say many racist skinheads and other white supremacists own or raise pit bulls. But in actuality, that may or may not be further from the truth, because I may have been told that, you know, African Americans or such like actually are the biggest majority of pit bull owners.
I mean, it doesn't matter what the race is. It's a pit bull. Like, the pit bull didn't do anything wrong.
Why would you even ascribe the race of the dog's owner to this? Why? What does that have to do with anything?
It's not the dog's fault. Like, it's not the dog's fault. No, definitely not. The dog doesn't have a choice who its owner is going
to
be.
I mean, I don't know. Should we bring back the days of how the dogs can choose their owners?
That's also a lie, though. You know, white supremacists own German shepherds. They don't own pit bulls. I mean, some do, but that's like, nah.
I mean, look, you know, I'm not one for, you know, restricting who gets to purchase own pets or whatsoever, have you.
But why are they doing this, though? Like, when has a pit bull ever been used as a hate symbol?
I don't think it has ever been.
I've never seen that.
Like, I can make make up a story now if I wanted. I could say pedophiles own chihuahuas. That doesn't mean it's true, you know?
Yeah, but now are koalas going to be on a watch list?
I guess.
Yeah, you see, why are they doing this to pit bulls?
You see how, it doesn't make any sense, you know?
I'm guessing because it's probably the same as Ken, you know, the Barbie Ken's cock ring. How everyone thought that, Ken's gay now.
Oh,
wow.
No, I just want to know where they got this idea from. Like, are they doing...
Probably because they saw a bunch of white supremacists who had pit bulls.
Mm-hmm. White supremacists.
So they assume that everyone...
They can have cats, right?
They can have Pomeranians.
Yeah, little chihuahuas, whatever.
Yeah, the thing that really worries me about this, though, is Staffies.
Staffies, what that means?
It's a breed of dog. It's quite common here in Australia. Joel, I've put you a photo of a staffy and a pit bull together. Now, the issue is they look remarkably similar.
Oh, do they? Okay.
Wait, so do you think there's going to be hate against pit bulls now?
That's ridiculous to me.
To be honest, I would take everything that the ADL says with an extreme grain of salt.
Oh, I know. They're such a meme.
Okay, so as Noble was saying, the difference between a staffy, we'll tell you versus a pit bull.
Which one's the staffy? Okay. The one on the right, maybe? I'm guessing? I don't know.
I think the left.
Is it the left?
No, the pit bull's on. Wait, I don't know.
That's what I'm still trying to figure out.
Okay, this is confusing.
Yeah, this is the issue here.
There are two different angles, too. That's throwing me off.
Yep.
If this really takes off... what's going to happen to staffies? You're going to have a staffy on you walking down the street, and they may be a Centrelink doll bludger, and they get accused of being a racist.
Or you might just have some Antifa wackos, you know, beat them with a bat. They do that to people.
Cricket bat. This is Australia.
Not just that. Don't people get hit on enough as it is? Like, people assume that people use them for dog fights when that's not always the case.
Yeah, there's that as well.
Whatever, yeah. I don't know.
Now, I'm not sure if this picture is the most accurate to describe, you know, a staffy and a pit bull, but...
Still, I just wonder where the ADL Like, how are they, why? I've never even seen it before. That's not a thing.
I don't know. But there is another tangent that I would like to go on, which is semi-related.
Okay.
And that is, what if we invoked the furry element into this? Yes, I know what, you probably know what I'm thinking, is that what will happen to the Pitbull persona?
Oh no. You think so?
Oh no.
Are
you going to start flaming Pitbull personas? That's going
to... No, well, look what happened to the police wolf personas. Like all the German shepherds and the wolves and stuff. Like,
yeah,
they were harassed for a bit.
The German shepherd thing in the furry community is very much largely a furry community thing, is because everybody who uses that persona has the stereotype of being, you know, a police bootlicker.
And not just that. What is it going to mean for boxers and gyms? Don't they use that as a symbol as well? Like the pit bull?
Boxers? Yeah.
Every dog breed, you know, carries with it a stereotype.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not, it's just one of those things. But how on earth are they going to tie the pit bull to this? It just boggles the mind.
I don't get it.
Oh no. What someone said in the chat. That's,
but you know,
I
don't think enough furries would care enough about this specific thing. Like, I don't know too many specific pit bulls in the fandom. I'm just saying, maybe like one.
That is true.
That I might have met once at a party 3 years ago that I don't remember. But nah, I don't think it's as big as like German Shepherds or like generic canines.
Mm-hmm.
Or Dalmatians. Dalmatians are pretty popular.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, there's just no.
No. I mean, I think it'll be fine.
Yeah. It's, it's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's just no. It's just... But anyway, just as a bit of an anecdotal experience, Benjamin Riggs outdoors and all. Haven't seen you around. Welcome aboard. I had a pit bull boxer mix, most loving dog with a high percent. Loved that dog until my neighbor killed him.
Oh my god!
That's unfortunate. Oh, that sucks.
To hear that, man. That's awful.
Neighbor says apparently she was a liberal that fed rat poison that was flipping the house.
Okay
what kind of neighborhood do you live in? I don't know what the.
That's messed up.
Nope. I blame the ADL. That's it. No, I'm just kidding. But, That's messed up.
That's messed up.
Why would you feed rat poison to a dog? That's evil.
Oh, people do that, unfortunately. I remember a case where someone jumped over a fence and they cut the ears off a dog.
Oh, no.
Why?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I honestly just don't know.
I'm also against the dog owners that cuts the tail offs of the dogs. I'm against that.
Especially the way they do it sometimes, it's pretty rough. Like,
I believe in Australia, at least, they've stopped doing that with Dobermans.
Oh, okay. That's good at least. Because let the dog have a tail, don't cut it off. That's just cruel and mean.
The only time you should remove a body part is when it's causing an issue that can put an animal's life in jeopardy. Or
exactly.
A person's.
Exactly, I agree with that. Exactly. Yep.
Ah, here's a little interesting one as well from. Oh, red and blue. So you live in a red and blue spot in Texas. She killed him because she felt unsafe, even though he was very, very loving.
I'm guessing that the dog was still in his yard, though.
Was the dog on the leash or off the leash, if you don't mind me asking? Not that it matters, you shouldn't kill the dog regardless, but.
No,
but
dude, no. She fed him rat poison.
So she came over and
threw it over the gate. I don't know how her rat perception worked, or you know, malfunctioned, or whatever. But just no words. I've got no words for this.
Hopefully, but he wasn't aggressive. Okay. Yeah, I don't see a problem then. Even if he was aggressive, I don't think it's worth doing that anyway. Yeah.
Off leash, but he wasn't aggressive.
Yeah, but
uh-huh.
She was still feeding him poison. It's not like she clubbed him to death in self-defense. Like, she intentionally did this.
Yes. Was this person charged, at least? I hope so. If not, that's messed up.
Honestly, I could understand someone kicking a dog if it just came running straight over to a person and they freaked out. I could understand that to a point. But poison, no, that's premeditated. That is...
Yeah, rat poison? Well, like, what are you doing?
He was only two. Oh, no. Was...
Oh.
Oh, no.
No, that's... That is not...
Not okay. Definitely not.
I mean, hell, dogs freak out when you pat them sometimes and they'll bite you, but that's them freaking out. It's not going, okay, you know, I got to get rid of this thing. How am I going to do it? Oh, I got some rat poison in the cupboard.
Yeah, because that's the first decision.
Yeah, sure. I see something, I freak out about it. The first thing I'm going to think about doing is running over and either buying or getting some poison and then giving it to the poor animal. It just, what the hell is wrong? Seriously.
That's messed up.
Bonkers, man.
Oh no, the person's still out there. That sucks. We tried, but she yelled saying, "You got no effing proof." Wow, that's messed up.
Yeah. No, again, no more words for it. But...
That sucks.
Well,
yes, can you go on a different story?
On, I know it's poor what happened to your dog, really. On a different-ish note. Live comment. Toonies asks, is Spike from Tom and Jerry a pit bull? No, I think he looks like a bulldog.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I think he is a bulldog. I think he is.
Most definitely. Yeah. But, so that just kind of does that too, so. But to consider, you know, that a hate symbol is just...
You know, I bet a lot of ISIS own bulldogs.
I mean, yeah, I don't know what they do.
Gotta get on that.
But you gotta remember, they're the dog hating contingent. So, as well as but I won't say much more on that point. But
I don't even know. I'm just making things up. It's just something that the ADL would do.
I don't know. I think ISIS would own sheepdogs, to be honest.
Hey, yeah, at least be thankful that your dogs are not under the thing of the Chinese.
You know, the dogs are like scared the sheep or whatever. That'd be kind of fun.
That's what I'm going to say. At least, you know, I don't know what's the greater evil. Being put, you know, having your dogs under the ownership of ISIS or under the ownership of the Chinese. And by that, I mean China.
I don't want either, to be honest.
I mean, as a dog, probably it'd be better to be living under ISIS, because there's not a very good likelihood that they're going to eat you.
True.
But there is possibility that they could strap a bomb to you.
True.
So, I mean, that's
a... Hang on, that happened in World War II, and I'm pretty sure it was the Americans, actually.
Really?
They do that to dolphins?
Dogs.
Dolphins?
Yes, but they also did it with dogs as an experiment. The only problem is they blew up their own tanks because the dogs were more used to,
moving around and stuff.
They weren't trained to go after the enemy tanks. They were trained to go after their own.
Was it the Americans that did this or was it the Soviets?
Don't quote me on this, but I believe it was the Americans.
Oh, that's cool. All right. Oh, there you go.
Someone said in the chat, Russians did it. I don't know if that's true or not.
I think the Russians did. I think the Soviets did. You know, because they were always doing stuff with dogs. Maybe. You know, they were launching them in space.
Could have been both. Before I know, I don't know.
I mean, all things considered. Yeah,
the Americans were training dolphins. I mean, maybe they did other animals.
Either way, it's just, it's just not right to do it, though. No. But, yeah.
No.
Anyway, I suppose, you know, despite all the unexpected and what we've got, I suppose it's fine. Just to call this a wrap as it is. I mean, sure, we may or may not have another thing, but you know what? I'd say I'm happy with the turnout.
Are we doing the last story or no?
Nah.
Nah. Okay.
It's just too. You know, the more I think about it, it's just nah.
Yeah, the last story.
I'll retitle the show, and you know.
No worries.
Actually, it was the Russians.
It was the Russians, okay.
Yeah, Russia. Cool.
Anti-tank dogs.
The anti-tank dogs. That's, oh my god, it sounds like a super secret weapon. I mean, I guess it was, technically.
I mean, just the mere thought of imagining it was... Oh.
how do you train a how do you do that? Like, what do you do? What if they come back?
Now I'm thinking about the ISIS thing. I think ISIS would own camels instead of dogs, actually. I think they're too cool for dogs. They own camels, probably. I can see that being a thing.
There's a Wikipedia page for it.
Because don't they have a lot of camels in the Middle East?
Yeah, they do. I feel like they'd use the camels for, like, milk and transport. You know, they wouldn't want to blow them up. That's like gold.
The point is, you have to get something underneath the tank.
Yeah. The camel too.
Where its weak spot is.
And I don't think camels could run that fast. I mean, here's the thing.
A camel is better suited off akin to being a mount as a horse than...
Like a horse, I gotcha.
For the purpose of, like, you know, what they do. Dogs. But, yeah. Makes sense. Apples to oranges.
Yeah.
Either way, yeah. I guess that is that, though. Who'd like to, you know, say any closing statements? Noble?
I like to go first. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah.
I'm glad to be on the show again.
I
do have some good news. My birthday's on Tuesday, so that's something.
Hey, awesome!
Yeah, I'm gonna be a 31-year-old boomer.
Don't get too wasted.
You would be considered a gray muzzle at that point.
Okay, yeah, gray muzzle. Yeah, I accept the gray muzzle tag though. So yeah. Other than that, yeah, that's all I have to say. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Enjoy your birthday.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Noble.
We got to get some better news on this show, to be honest. Something good, something positive, not Disney trying to screw themselves over three ways from Sunday.
I agree.
I'll see what I can do, but I mean, this is the society we live in.
I know, that's the sad part about it.
Yeah. It's so tough, man. Like, there's nothing else happening. Oh, it's so difficult.
If we basically became like a cheery news thing, I might as well shut up shop and, you know, and start my own studio with morning news. But yeah, I see your point.
I hope Ghostbusters is something good. That's all I can say. The new one.
I hope so.
Oh, shut up. But yeah, Avira.
Well, this was super fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I guess I really don't have too much to say at this point. I just hope that everyone had a super spectacular night, and I shall see you next week.
I absolutely never thought, you know, Yappy himself would drop in, you know, and fill us in on all the details why Megaplex never happened. But
yeah,
wow.
Well, it's good, yeah.
I mean, it's almost as if we wish that, you know, even Conchairs would extend the same charity to all other first show hosts. But hey, at least, you know, if you get something out of it, more power to you. And
I had a feeling it was Con, that just
made me realize that Con hosting is more complicated than anybody ever thought it would be.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've heard the stories from Kage. He keeps saying it's not fun.
But yeah,
but you know, it's hard work, and they do a very good job. So very thankful.
Of course. So my hats go off to them. And of course, you know, one last thing, Benjamin Riggs. If any of y'all are in Texas, let me know, and I'll give you the bush tour. I mean, we do have a couple of guys from Texas out here. I mean, I've wanted to fly down to Texas, but hey. Absolutely. Yeah, I'll definitely consider that offer in mind. So, in that case, let us close up by saying that our episodes are available on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and more platforms further down the line, depending on, of course, circumstances, what YouTube does with us, and a lot more, and opportunities. This is us signing off for the week. Farewell, and until next time.
Keep sane, everyone.
Keep safe, everybody.